Hello, my babies. Welcome to Poker in the Ears. I'm Uncle Daddy, Joe Stapleton. He's my work wife, James Hardigan.
And I'm alive. I am functioning, but only just.
We will get to the rationale, the reasoning, I should say, behind that coming up on today's show. After a fairly slow start to this year, it is all kicking off right now. James just had his 50th birthday in Las Vegas. I stuck around to play No Gamble, No Future. It was live streamed, so we can talk about all of the results.
Excellent.
Then I stuck around to host No Gamble, No Future. So this week's hand of the century of the day will come from NGNF and will be joined by Mr. ATB himself, Fintan Hand, to see if he approves of my... I was going to try to pick a bluff, but I didn't bluff.
No, I didn't bluff once. I didn't think that would happen. So this is Fintan Hand of the century of the day, although I believe it may be Fintan Hands of the century of the day.
That is correct. We're going to do two hands, one hand that I won, nice. One hand that I lost. I did not, as I said, bluff at all, but I didn't have to. I ran pretty pure the entire day. I'll get to that story in a minute. I'm currently in the middle of all of that. I did a little, I'm the Wheelmaster General this week on No Gamble, No Future. And we got one more episode to tape today, or a few more episodes to tape today. And then I'm rushing back to LA tonight because tomorrow we go directly into the studio to record Big Game on Tour Season 2, Episode 1. And then the following day after that, we're doing more EPT Barcelona. So we are busy AF, and it doesn't end there, does it?
It does not. We have got those Barcelona TV shows coming up. We've got the Big Game returning very soon. By the way, Joe, have you watched that show yet?
I have not, no.
I watched it yesterday because obviously we like to look through the shows before we go into the studio to do the voiceover, to do the commentary. It just put a smile on my face for the whole 48 minutes.
Oh, great.
It's just, there is something so magical about that format, about those shows, about the whole... Again, just seeing the story of the loose cannon and how they were selected and seeing the first few hands of the session, the table dynamics, the conversation between the players, it just put a huge smile on my face. But yeah, not just TV shows coming up, we've got live streams as well.
Yeah, Poker Stars Open is finally coming to your screens, to your eye holes and ear holes from Campione. We'll be broadcasting this weekend, but we do have boots on the ground there already.
We do.
And so today's guest coming to us from Campione is the once and future Poker Stars legend, Luca Pagano.
Yeah, very excited to talk to Luca.
And this week's super fan is Gonzalo Arujalo. I should have got that the first time. Arujalo. And he has chosen the Gene Hackman comedy, The Replacements.
It's so funny because this came up last week, right? When we were talking movies with Caitlin and Danny, we were talking about great Gene Hackman movies. The Replacements was brought up, and I think you said you had never seen it.
I had never seen it. I have now seen it. I'm going to save my thoughts to share with Gonzalo later in the show. Let's talk birthday weekend. Before I ended up meeting up with James on the birthday weekend. Now, James has already heard this story, but... I got at the strip club.
This is a classic Stapes anecdote from circa 2013. And fast forward to 2025, and I kind of feel like, you know, what's retro is now new again.
Yeah, it sure is. I'm going through some changes in my life right now that have thrust me back into 2013. Here's the problem. I have more money than I had in 2013, which means getting got at the strip club hurts a lot more. Because I'm the kind of guy that when I go to the strip club, I sit on my hands. I don't like it. I don't think it's that fun. I actually have a great deal of respect for sex workers. And like, I like to take care of people when they're working. I'm a good tipper in restaurants, but I don't really want the services they have to offer in strip clubs. And it's a really difficult thing for me. So my best friend, she really wanted to go to the strip club. And I said, promise me I'm not going to spend any more than $500. Drag me out of there. And she's like, yes, don't worry. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that, like, you know, that you don't get predatorized. So basically what ends up happening is she goes to buy me a dance knowing I don't want to spend any money. while I'm speaking with the dancer, some guy tries to pick a fight with me. He just comes over and he interrupts us. He asks me where I'm from, and I go, Los Angeles, you ever heard of it? And this guy loses his mind. You picked the wrong guy to fuck with, and like really wants to fight me. So at this point, my best friend and the dancer drag me away and take me, I wouldn't say to a private area, but like to a secluded part, an empty part of the strip club, at which point we trauma bond for like the next 2 hours. And then she's like, oh my God, you're so sweet. You almost got in a fight, blah, 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 blah. Like, let's go over here for a second and have some fun. And before I know it, I'm signing two credit card statements for $800 a pop.
I was going to say, the moment like, let's go over to this area.
I just felt like such an idiot. And the thing is, I had been feeding her money like the whole time, right? She's standing there talking to me. So every half hour or so, I'm giving her $100 to stay within my budget. And again, like, I don't think her time should come for free. Like, she doesn't have to, you know, sit there and not make money while she's talking to me. But when I thought like, oh, now I'm going to get a dance for the money that I've been giving her. No, it was $800 for them to put a curtain up and $800 for a bottle of booze. I didn't come anywhere near finishing. And I could just, you ever have like an out of body experience? Like I just see myself signing the credit card statement. Like I was just like, why am I doing this? You didn't want to do this. Then I'm sitting in the room with her like this, arms crossed, like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sure. I'll put dance down. Thanks a lot. She's like, let me get your number. I'm like, yeah, sure. Uh-huh, fine. Yeah, here's my number. And then she tricked us into thinking she was going to meet us for breakfast afterward. None of that happened. I felt like an idiot because I know better. That's the problem. However, the rest of the weekend was pure joy.
The rest of the weekend was amazing. Although, no regrets, but maybe four nights in a row was going a little bit too hard, especially as...
Yeah, who the fuck do you think you are, me?
I hadn't fully recovered from the previous weekend, from the Oscars party. Oh, and yeah, I should mention, I hadn't fully recovered from that Friday night after your comedy show. So... kind of, it's been a long week. It's been a long week. But no, we had a lot of fun. As most people who follow me on Instagram will know, I got to ride a mechanical bull at the kind of country and western themed bar, Gillies. Got to hang out with people that night. It was an awesome night of kind of just drinks and a little bit of food. The big night though was the Saturday, Joe, and I'm so glad that you liked that place because Super Freako at the Cosmopolitan, I wouldn't say it was an acquired taste, but it's a vibe. You have to be in the right frame of mind.
Well, you have to go with people that are also having fun, and your cousin's partner, Jacob, just immediately was vibing with that place. It was like dancing in his seat. So for those of you who don't know what it is, it's a high-end Italian restaurant, but it's also kind of like a nightclub, but it's like a funky nightclub. So there's a DJ, but then there's like characters walking around and there's performances. And look, if they're going to charge you, you know, the sorts of prices that you pay for things in Vegas now, going to places like that really add to the experience rather than, as I said, lunch for two at Johnny Rockets costs $70 at the Luxor food court. I'd rather spend $80 and have a really nice meal in some place with some great atmosphere. I got a shout out. They did tableside fresh mozzarella pulling.
Yeah.
Man, is that good. The first time in my life I ever had that was at Phil Sternheimer's wedding. And I think this might be the first time since then. And that was like a decade ago. Yeah. So the first time since then that I've had it. Loved. I'm actually, my mouth is watering right now just thinking about it. They had a really creepy cat, like fuzzy character walking around too.
You
that
didn't
like
know how you felt about that, did you?
No, I didn't. No, it was really, it looked like a low budget horror movie kind of thing. I mean, yeah. a well done costume, but like it was fucking scary.
Yeah.
And then so the night before I managed to get my revenge at Resorts World.
Oh, when you say you got
because
your revenge,
I went there,
you took him down? You took him down for like hundreds of thousands of dollars?
No, but I walked in, used my $750 in free play, and walked out with $900. So, that's a win. Now, I'll probably never get free play ever again because of that, but I'm okay with that. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it goes without saying that in between all of these dinners and other fun activities, there was a lot of drinking and a lot of gambling. And Saturday night was fun, hanging out with the Cosmopolitan, playing in the slots room. I played some Pai Gout that night. And we just happened to be standing there. We literally just happened to be behind this guy when he hit one of the biggest jackpots I have seen anyone ever hit in Vegas.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with the Huff and Even More Puff game, which I'm quite familiar with, he was playing $120 a spin. I don't know if you saw, he had about 17,000 in the machine.
Holy shit.
So that was, yeah, that was his, like, you know, his budget. He's doing $120 a spin. He got six hats. Within the six hats, he pulled a coin, which got him to spin the wheel. Then the wheel hit the upgrade portion of the wheel. And when you hit the upgrade portion, that's where you can hit the super mega. It's actually called the super grand. And yes, we watched this fella hit the super grand jackpot on Huff and Even More Puff for $158,000. Right there, right behind the dude. He said he's like a streamer or whatever. His name is Mr. Mike something. I tried to find him, but there's a lot of Mr. Mikes online, so I never ended up seeing the video.
A lot of slot streamers now. Like, every other person you see in the casino has, like, not just a phone recording, but like a proper rig, like, you know, a tripod fixed on their screen.
Yeah, this guy was set up for all that. Because this was night three, I called it a night relatively early. How much later did you guys go?
Not that much later, knowing that we still had night four. And night four, we really went to town. So,
really?
Yeah, well, Michelle booked tickets for Disco Show at the Link, which, interestingly, is another Spiegelworld production, the same people who are behind Super Freako.
And got it.
This was one of the standout highlights of the weekend.
Something good at the Link?
Yeah. Genuinely, it is exactly what it says on the tin. It's a disco and it's a show. And it's a kind of interactive experience, very much modeled around Studio 54. And I defy anybody with a soul not to enjoy this. It is incredible. And one of the best things I think you can do in Vegas right now.
So did you end up, I know you talked about going and getting a costume for it. Did you end up dressing up specifically for Disco Show?
I did not get a costume, but we did both dress up. Michelle bought a disco dress, so we did Disco Show, went out for Mexican food afterwards. I discovered that O'Shea's, which is now a kind of annex to the Link, has a $5 Ultimate Texas Hold'em table, which was perfect for a couple of hours on a Sunday night. And then back to the Cosmopolitan, gambling until way, way, way too late. That kind of classic. At 2 a.m., we'll cut ourselves off. At 2:30, we'll cut ourselves off. We've got a 1 o'clock flight tomorrow. At 3 a.m., we'll cut ourselves off. But yes, as I said.
Any big hits?
No big hits, but crucially, neither of us had to visit an ATM during the trip, and both of us still had money when we left. That's not to say it's a winning trip.
That's great.
It was not a disastrous trip. And of course, as far as experience is concerned, as I said, I'm going to be feeling this probably until my birthday next year.
Well, I do owe Rania a couple of bucks for breaking our bet a couple of days. I definitely missed my protein on one day and definitely gambled. So Rania's got some money coming her way. I just want to be upfront about that. I'm not trying to stiff Rania. However, I did have a big hit.
Ooh.
On No Gamble, No Future.
Yes. So I'm assuming you took it pretty easy on Sunday and were just kind of like getting into the zone for playing on Monday night?
I mostly did not leave bed on Sunday.
Yeah.
I sat in the room, watched a bunch of movies. It was great. I did go downstairs at one point, and I was shocked how busy Aria was on Sunday night. I was expecting the city to empty out a little bit, but it was crazy, crazy busy still at Aria when I went to go get some food. But yes, I went to No Gamble, No Future, 25-25 game, James. They tend to lower the stakes a little bit for me, I think, specifically.
Bless them.
And we had an awesome lineup. So
can I just say that I'd seen...
Yeah.
Well, in advance, I'd seen the kind of the posters where they're advertising you and Nick Wright. And then after the stream, I see it's like everyone's talking about Helmuth and Gentili. I'm like, well, they weren't advertised. And then I see a clip and it's like, where did they come from?
Surprise guests.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't have advertised they were going to be on the show, because maybe they would have got more viewers. But yes, like all of a sudden, right as like maybe a few hands in, Helmuth shows up. And then a few hands after that, Jennifer Tilly shows up. So this was like a pretty incredible experience. And there was one point that I tried to get earnest with Phil, and I was like, hey, I just want to let you guys know, like, this is pretty cool. Pretty cool that, like, even without the money being involved, to be able to play poker with Phil Hellmuth Jr., play with Jennifer Tilly, you know, Nick Wright, having watched these folks on the big game, I'm definitely jealous. I'm like, oh, it looks fun out there. And we had a game that was a lot like the big game, because do you remember Dr. Dad?
Well, he's a former super fan,
from the
right?
big game auditions.
But Dr. Dad has been a super fan on this podcast as well.
Yes, and he was there as an online qualifier, so he kind of had like a little loose cannon situation going on. He sat directly to my left. Now, I will just cut to the chase here, everybody. I bought in for $5,000, and I cashed out for $23,300.
That is a profit of more than $18,000.
That is a profit of more than $18,000. And James, what is our swap?
I believe it's 5% on occasions.
5%?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. 5% is fine. I thought it was 10 for some reason.
10 is when we both play the same thing, Joe.
Okay, okay.
And if it's an opportunity that one of us gets that the other doesn't, like if I play an online tournament or if you get an opportunity like this, it's 5%.
Sure. Okay, fine. I was like, 10% seems like a lot. Okay, we're good.
Be.
We're good.
I was going to renegotiate,
but we're fine.
No. I was also going to remind you that back in the day, and I'm talking about going back like 10 years when we had our standard 10% swap, I don't think I ever benefited once. The one time that you had a big cash was we'd forgotten completely about the swap post-pandemic, and it was the event you played at the Irish Open. So I think we're good.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I knew I needed to be reminded of why this swap was a good idea. Okay, so this game played a lot bigger. I think that Helmuth was kind of showing off a little bit, because so there was like a lot of 3 and 4 betting when it's Helmuth, Jennifer Tilly, Nick Wright, like all pretty aggressive players, pretty deep pockets.
Sorry, you're saying that there were cameras around. It was a live stream production, and Helmuth was putting on a show. Helmuth was vying for attention, possibly?
Possibly, yes. And
shocking.
There was at one point that he actually was about to pop off on somebody, like do one of his classic rants, and everyone just started talking, and he was like, excuse me, but I was about to do a rant, and I'm not going to do it now because everyone's talking over me. it was great. So I adopted like this sort of limping strategy because I just didn't want to get like 3 and 4 bet constantly.
That's a really sensible strategy, by the way. I'm fully on board with that.
Yeah. So basically I lost a hand pretty early on. That's going to come up in hand of the century of the day in a little bit. And that was for about half my stack. And you know, $2,500 at that point isn't a lot to work with when everyone else is in for like $15,000, $20,000. So like one of the hands I limped with ace queen suited, and when it raised back to me, I just shoved for the $2,500. I ended up getting a full double up on that one because we ran it twice and I won both of them somehow. And I also won another hand with aces that way, where I limp shoved with aces and got called by sixes and the aces held. So, and by the way, I played a hand beautifully against Phil Hellmuth Jr. to get up to like 25K, and he berated me afterward, and it was
fantastic.
Awesome. It was awesome. I had ace king. He clearly had some huge hand. The flop came king high. He bet into me. I called. I lead river, and he goes, "Motherfucker, I have pocket queens. How do they do this to me?" And he paid off the $2,500 on the river with pocket queens. It was just, look, I can say I played the hand beautifully, but it's easy when you have ace king and flop top pair. It's easy. I did flop a set of threes at one point. Now, the tougher spots that I had are coming up shortly.
Okay. I would just say it's well documented, not just on this podcast, but I think every single piece of content we ever produce, that you feel that you run mostly below expectation, that you never make hands, that you never win all ins. Do you feel that this is made up for some of that? Can we hold this up as evidence that actually, Joe, sometimes you do hit hands, sometimes you do run well?
Well, yeah, this is why I love cash games, right? Because, like, I only had to run good in, like, four or five spots to make $18,000 as opposed to a tournament where you have to run good for 4 or 5 days to make $18,000. So, yes, absolutely. I can admit when I'm running at or probably above expectation in this case. And if I'm going to run hot, the two times I've played on No Gamble, No Future, you know, maybe I shouldn't say I ran hot the last time, too. Those are about to air, but whatever. I would take it in these spots more than anything. More than, like, no offense, like a $500 run good event where I'm there just to be an ambassador anyway. If I'm going to go the distance in something, I want to last the whole show and make some money in a high-stakes cash game.
Sure. But you say you've got a couple of hands you want to talk about, right? Hands that maybe you're not sure about. Hands where maybe someone could provide some tips, some for the future.
Not just one, but two hands of the century of the day.
And for this segment of the show, we are going to need a helping hand from Fintan Hand. Hello, Fintan.
What is going on, James? Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. especially as I noticed that you have, I was going to say, uninvited house guest, or maybe you actually asked him to stay with you.
I told Parker he could stay with me for one or two nights, and he's been here for 3 weeks, so we'll see how it goes.
I was
Does
right
he babysit your kids at least?
Yeah, actually, do you know what? Parker's been a huge help. He does babysit the kids. He's actually making me look a little bit bad. This morning, he got up at 7 a.m. to help with the morning shift while I lay in bed, and I came down, and he was making my wife breakfast, so I don't even know if I'm...
Whoa.
I don't even know what's going on, to be honest. I don't know what's going on.
Fintan, you're out.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
This is amazing.
What happened in your contest? Didn't you just, is that over yet? Did you give away an Irish Open, an Emerald Pass or something?
I am in the process of giving away an Emerald Pass, but Elon Musk hates me and Twitter went down 2 hours before I was due to pick all the winners on Twitter. So that is going to be happening. I'm not sure when this goes live, but this week.
All right, very good. I'm excited about that. So today in Hand of the Century of the Day, we got two hands of the century of the day. I'll just say it now. One hand I lost, one hand I won. I guess by process of elimination, we'll figure out which is which. So this is on No Gamble, No Future, Fintan. 25-25 cash game. The biggest stakes I've ever played in my life.
I was going to say, you look a little bit nervous even saying 25-25. So I can't imagine playing 25-25. Did you sell, James, half your action?
I sold a little bit of action. So James gets a permanent 5% swap of stuff that we do. But I did sell a little bit of action to this game. And I was in for one bullet. I didn't really announce that to the table, but I think it's pretty clear to everyone that I'm not going to be buying in for multiple bullets. So one of the players in this game was Ethan Klein of the H3 podcast, which apparently is huge, a huge podcast. Something like 5 million subscribers. So
wow.
Yeah, I know the podcast. I remember it when he used to be on, I think he was on Twitch a lot back in the day.
Yes. And he, just a little context here, he had never played in a cash game before.
Okay.
All right. So that's a little bit of context here. So I'm in the big blind in this 25-25 game. And Ethan Klein is on the button and he raises to $275.
That is there a straddle on, or we're just $275 straight off the 25?
There was a lot of straddling going on in this game, but it hadn't started yet. This is just your typical 10x open. 11x.
Okay. And you have $2,500 in front of you?
I have $4,775 in front of me.
Okay, so we're deep stacked and we're 11x opening. This feels like a 1-2 cash game in my local casino already, so I think I'm actually going to be able to answer this pretty well, but let's hear the rest of it.
I am in the big blind with the Queen of Diamonds, 9 of clubs.
Hey, now, if we're on TV and we want to see a flop, let's see a flop.
Okay, so I will say this. I don't think I realized in the moment that I was calling an 11x raise.
Yeah, that's fair.
I, I think that I was calling like a 3x raise, and I was like, boy, these stakes are high. So I do end up calling and taking a flop with queen of diamonds, nine of clubs, and that flop is the 10 of diamonds, eight of hearts, seven of hearts.
We flop the open-ended straight draw with a kind of gutter to the high end.
Exactly. Exactly. So
that's why we had you on, Fenton, because you can spot stuff like that.
I'm just making sure, because Parker and myself talk poker all the time. And when he verbally tells me hand histories, I'm very bad at visualizing them. I think it's just from being a dealer and PTSD of guys coming up to me and be like, let me tell you about this hand I played. And I just blanked it all out. So I'm just trying to get a visualization for it. We have queen nine. We've got an open-ended straight draw. Can I ask one more thing? Is this the first time you've seen him raise this big?
This is like the fifth hand total.
Okay, so we're early doors. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Take it away.
I check. Now, also, Fenton, I'm with you. Like, when people tell me hand histories, I, like, glaze over, and I have to ask a lot of follow-up questions to make sure that I stay on board. So please ask as many as you can. It's an audio show, so people may be having the same questions as you. Ethan now bets $300 into $650.
Yeah.
I call.
Yeah, seems fine. I think given the fact that this gentleman has put 11 big blinds into the middle pre-flop, I'd be a little bit concerned. So raising it and getting it in, he's not the kind of guy, from the sounds of it, if he has aces, you're going to put pressure on. He's just going to play for stack. So I like it. See if we can make a straight. Hit a queen.
We do not make a straight, but we do hit a queen on the turn. We hit a queen. I check.
Just to be clear, Joe, this checks. Is the queen of hearts, right? So that puts three hearts out there.
The queen of hearts.
Okay, so yeah, that's right. A big important little detail there. So we've got a flush on the board. Okay.
I check, he checks. The river is the queen of spades.
I like our chances of winning this pot. I'm going to be honest. I would be super sad for you. And if I was playing, I'd be super sad if it don't win. And go ahead.
I like our chances of winning this pot as well. So I decide that I want to get some value and not have a check behind. There's $1,250 in the middle, and I bet $500.
I'd be a little bit more greedy. Like, I'll be honest. I'm a greedy man. We've got trips. He's checked back the turn. He can have a queen sometimes, so, like, I don't think we can go betting all in or anything like that. But, you know, we've got a pretty strong hand. I don't think we're going to see someone checking a flush back. I don't think we're going to see someone checking back too many queens. So I think we could be a little bit more greedy. But
Quick question, Joe. Is this an intentional less than half pot size bet? Or are you, like me, sometimes struggling to work out how much is in the middle? And if I want to bet 70% or 80% of pot, I'm struggling to work out what that bet size should be?
That's a good question. And the answer is yes to both things.
Right.
I don't exactly know there's $1,250 in the middle when I make this $500 bet. I'm just trying to make a sizing that I think I can get called by a worse hand.
I like that. That's a great way to play poker. I'm not just saying that. I think that everyone gets a little bit caught up on, like, trying to play the exact correct way, but ultimately, like, betting the amount with a good hand that will get called by a worse hand is a pretty good way to play. Like, it really is.
That's what I thought would get called. And so here's the last piece of information.
That's this.
I get raised now another $500.
He clicks it. He clicks the river.
He clicks it, and I'll say this about him. So he said that he's never played a cash game before, and also he did this thing early. I can't remember if it was before this or after. I think he did it once before this, where he was first to act on the river, and he tanks for like 2 minutes and seems really like he doesn't know what to do, really stressed out, and then shoves.
Okay.
And then got a fold and then showed a bluff.
Okay.
So he did that once before this, and they did it once after this. So all of this part, you know, is obviously part of the equation for me going into what I do here. Let's hear what James would do first.
Okay. So with the caveat that I'm bad, and also with the caveat that I am quite nitty, this is a psy call for me.
A psy call from James.
Yeah, I think I have a theory where if I have a good hand, I just never fold, so I can sleep well at night. Because if he throws his cards into the muck and I don't get to see them, now maybe this is televised, you're going to get to see it later on, so it's not the same. But Yeah, when we easily could have been more greedy, and the fact that he's so new means that there's just a randomness factor, right? Like, is there a chance that he has been a little bit scared of the flush, but he doesn't feel like 500 is enough for like aces or kings? And he's like, oh, well, if I just min raise, I can get called by all the pairs that are betting like a 10 or a 9 or whatever. So, or not 9, a 9, a 10 or an 8. I wouldn't fold, but I would expect that a lot of the time we're going to lose, but I just wouldn't fold. I can't bring myself. It's $500. You know, we're getting a very good price given the amount of money in there, but you might never see that $500 again. And James is going to be down a couple of dollars after buying action as well. But I would click call.
Here is my rationale, is that if he is this new to cash games, I think he could be clicking back kings or aces.
Yeah, I agree.
I think a lot of times players are going to do that. So I do make a crying call, a sigh call, a crying call, if you will. And I get shown pocket sevens for a flopped set runner full house.
Wow.
I was fucking dead unless I'd made the straight, but it came perfect for me to basically lose the maximum against a set of sevens.
That's really unlucky, but I'm paying the man. I've got trips. We've put $1,000 in. We could easily bet $1,000 ourselves. There is the element that maybe he's just not going to bluff like that and won't have the value, but I'd sleep well at night calling Joe. I wouldn't be upset about that one.
Okay. I did feel a little stupid at that point, especially because when I called and he turned his hands over and I say, do you have a straight, which should have been one of the least things I'm worried about, considering there are hearts out there as well. But okay. This one is a little bit more fun. Hand number two. Hand of the century of the day, number two. The straddle is on. I'm once again in the big blind. So Dr. Dad is straddling. Phil Hellmuth folds. Jennifer Tilly makes it $300.
The straddle's 100 quid. Or sorry, 50?
50, that's right.
You guys, what's going on here? Are we like, why is everyone raising it so big?
This is a really sick day of poker, and like I sort of, not exactly in this hand, but like I sort of adapted a limping strategy with all the hands that I was going to play. I was just like limp calling or limp shoving sometimes. I managed to get a limp shove through with aces. I mean, for a full double, and a limp shove with ace queen suited, where I ran pretty pure. Luckily. So Jennifer Tilly makes it $300.
Right.
Nick Wright calls $300. There's a fellow named Rips in the game. Rips calls from the small blind. Rips is a stocks streamer. He trades futures, live streams it. He calls for $300. I'm in the big blind with ace of hearts, nine of hearts.
Pretty hand.
And I call.
Just very quickly, Joe, at this stage of the game, because in the previous hand you were around starting stack just shy of $5,000, how much do you have at this point?
At this point I've run it up. I have like 9k.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, about love seeing a flop.
I have about $9,000 at this point. So Dr. Dad, who had straddled, also calls.
Okay, so we've got 47 people to the flop.
That's right. 15 1,500 in the middle, and that flop is the 10 of hearts, 8 of hearts, 7 of diamonds. So we've got the nut flush draw.
What is not to love about that flop? That is like the dream flop for your hand.
It's my chest is heaving. I am heaving. I am shaking. My hands are under the table so that I can't show the world how excited I am. First to act is this fella Rips. He checks. I check. Now, I'll tell you right now, I don't know if I'm going to check raise or not.
Okay.
I haven't decided. Like, I'm like, I think I could check raise here. And if I get it in, I get it in. Like, you know, there's worse places to get it in.
For sure.
But I have run my stack up to over 9K, which is a lot of money for me. So I'm not sure that I want to get it in, but I think it's possible. So I check. Dr. Dad checks. Jen checks, and now Nick Wright, who plays pretty aggressively, he bets $700.
So just under half pot, right?
Just under half pot. So Rips folds, and now it's over to me, and I will...
Does Nick have more than you? Like, yeah.
No, he's got a lot more than me. Nick's got like, he's got like 25K or something. Everyone has more. I have the shortest stack at the table, probably.
I think so, you can do whatever you're feeling, Joe. I don't think either are going to be a mistake. You've got, obviously, like you mentioned, if you have to run it, you can be running it with a lot worse hand. Sometimes you get the dream setup where they get it in with a king high flush draw, or they just get in with like ace nine without hearts if the game's really loosey goosey and the guys are gambling. But if you decide to call, I think it's very reasonable too. You know, it's whatever you're feeling.
I decide to be more optimistic than usual at this point. Like a lot of times I rip it here because I don't make a lot of draws. I know that's a bad attitude. And in my head this time I went, you know what? Let's just call, because if you make it, you're going to make more money. You're going to make more money. Cool. If so, I decide to just call, and Dr. Dad calls as well.
Huh.
Now the turn.
So three ways to the turn, right? You, spades. Nick Wright, and Dr. Dad.
That's right. And the turn pairs the board. It's the 10 of spades.
That's really sad and anticlimactic so far.
It's pretty sad, right? Because I'm like, man, four ways to this flop. The guy in the straddle can easily have 10-8, in my opinion. You know, you're not immediately just going to assume that that's what they have, but it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nick Wright's going to have 10-8.
You don't want to be monsters under the bed too much, though, right? This is a loose game. They can also just have, like, much weaker hands. They can have draws. Yeah. You dominate. You can still be doing all right.
Yes.
As we know, Joe, blockers aren't real, so the possibility of a smaller flush draw is out there.
I guess that's true. I check, Dr. Dad checks, and Nick Wright checks.
Okay, so we love a free card.
Yeah.
We're doing cartwheels in our head. We're high-fiving everyone virtually in our head. We're just like, this is amazing.
We love a free card, Fenton. You're right there with me. There's $3,600 in the middle. The river is the three of hearts.
I was going to say, Joe, if we win this on the three of spades, I'm going to be pretty impressed here.
The three of hearts.
The nut flush. Okay.
And I snap check.
Oh, I love that. We're going for the check raise. We're trying to get it all. We're being greedy.
Now, Dr. Dad, out of nowhere, now fires 2,200 into 3,600.
Okay.
I am not loving this. I'm certain when I check that I want a check raise, and now I'm like, holy shit.
Is it back on us?
It's over to Nick now, who thinks about it for maybe 30 seconds and calls.
So what I would say immediately is that we've got a better hand than Nick. You know that, right? Like,
yes.
We have a better hand than Nick because
I have a better hand than Nick.
He's going to raise. He's not going to be trying to trap you. So now we just have to work it out with Dr. Dad. Does he play a full house like this? Does he play a bigger flush like this? The truth for me is I would want to be all in, Joe. I'm a greedy man. I don't think that players are disciplined enough with their full houses to not overbet the river or go for a check raise themselves. So we've got, what do we have? We have about $8,000 left. I don't think we're going to lose here. I'm pretty confident that no one's got a better hand. And listen, the only argument against it is, would anyone call worse hands against you, given that you always go on about how much of a nit you are, how you're not playing? Like, you're not going to be bluffing here. So will you get called by a worse hand? For me, I want to find out. I'm putting all the chips in. I'm putting the decision on them. We've got a nut flush. If that's our one bullet done and we lose with the nut flush and the cooler of the hand of the century of the day, then we go out with our head held high.
So I have a habit of, instead of putting my opponents on ranges, on exact hands. And in this situation, I think Nick Wright has a 10, and I think Dr. Dad Poker has a smaller flush. So that is why I am very much on team all you can eat.
So in my mind, I'm actually deciding between calling and folding.
I'm done, boys. Thanks for the interview. That
was great. He's literally walked away.
Now, part of it is that I'm snake bit from the first hand where I, you know, where I got coolered. I hit my gin card,
yeah,
right?
They,
I
went no.
And I'm, no. So look, when I say I'm deciding between calling and folding, I'm like 80% calling, 20%, not percent of the time, but like 80% of the fiber of my being is like, you just have to call here. If you're coolered, you're coolered.
Or you dug deep and you found the 1% and you shoved and you won a $25,000 pot is what you're going to tell me.
But and I did.
Here's a question very quickly before we get to the resolution of this. Is calling terrible here though, Vincent? Surely not. I mean, arguably a little bit overcautious, but.
So. It's a little bit weird because the raise at the very beginning was $300 and we're playing a 25-25 game. Obviously, there is a straddle on, but that's still like we're looking at hundreds of big blinds on a paired board. And if you were playing in like a regular cash game with no crazy raise sizes pre-flop, you wouldn't really want to be re-raising on this river 200 big blinds deep with a nut flush multi-way. But in these looser cash games that are broadcast and the size of the pot gets inflated pre-flop, you don't need to have such a strong hand to put it in. But it's not insane. And sometimes you will look like a genius. If Dr. Dad had have had 10-8 for the top full house, they might have went a bit smaller because they don't, you know, I know blockers aren't real, but it makes it less likely that someone has a 10 and like they have the 8 that blocks it, whatever the word I can use that's not blocked there. And they might assume that players, if they have the nut flush, will put all the chips in. So I don't think it's crazy. I'm just a greedy man. And I, like James, like to put people on exact hands and feel good about it.
My real rationale is that I don't think I can get called by worse if I should.
But that's if you believe that, and that could very well be the case. I did touch on that for a little moment.
Yeah.
Then I think it's a good call because if you think that no one's calling you unless they have a full house, it doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't matter, right? Because like if they're only going to call full houses, it's a disaster to shove the flush, right?
Correct. So I do end up just calling. Dr. Dad shows a 10. It's Dr. Dad who led River with a 10 in his hand. And Nick Wright shows Queen 5 of Hearts for the second nut flush.
We had the right hands, but the wrong way around.
That's
you know
right.
What? You were lucky that Nick didn't raise the river because you might have folded then. Like, because Nick could have easily raised that hand in position and you might have folded the ace high flush. So even though maybe you feel like you missed out on a little bit of value, at least you didn't fold the winner. That's and also, true. If you had a folded ace nine suited versus his bet on the river, I legitimately never would have talked to you again and I would have asked you not to broadcast this interview.
I definitely was like, it's just, look, it's very difficult for me to separate what the correct decision is from the money.
That's fair. That's fair. It is tough.
This is $2,200 that I'm putting into the middle, and it's a difficult thing for me to move those chips forward, even though I know I have to call there.
I would pay a lot of money for your inner monologue as you're deciding.
Oh shit! Oh fuck! There's so much fucking money out there.
Did you end up winning on the night?
I bought it for $5,000, Fenton, and I cashed out for $23,300.
That's an unbelievable effort for an evening's work. Congratulations on the 5% as well, James.
Thank you very much. I'm taking it. Fenton, thank you very much for coming on and analyzing one, but two hands of the century of the day. And we will see you in your home city very soon for the Irish Open.
I can't wait to see you, boys. And thank you very much for your time. See you later.
Bye, buddy.
Okay, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this week's show, a reminder that if you have an interesting poker hand that you would like analyzed by a member of Team Pro or one of the finest minds in the game, you can submit it via our Discord, because we have a link in the podcast description to the PokerStars Discord server. Alternatively, we have that email address, which is superfan@pokerstarsint.com. And suffice to say, that's also the email address you should be using for superfan applications as well. One thing we should remind people of, Joe, is we are now less than a month away from the next installment of the Poker in the Ears book club. We are going to review and talk to the author, Jeff Boats, of the book Blood Game. I've started reading it. I'm really enjoying it. It's good, right? It's a good read. And I think people are going to get into this. And there's a discount code?
Yes. So, Jeff, if you go to jeff.boats, JEFFE.boats, he's given everyone the code STARS77, which gives you $7 off the book, covers postage and a little bit of a discount on the on the book. It's good through the end of April. Sadly, it's only for U.S. mailing addresses.
Okay. We've got a fair few listeners in the U.S. who could take advantage of this.
That's right. If you want to get a signed copy, you can get it cheaper than the ones from Amazon. A signed copy from his website is cheaper than the regular one from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So that's Stars77 on the Jeff Boats website.
That's awesome. So that is going to be first week of April that we will talk to Jeff and review that book. I mentioned Superfan applications. We also have the podcast discussion channel on Discord as well. Last week, we analyzed Sam Pye's hand. Sam says, I thought Caitlin was very generous in her assessment, and it was nice of Joe to say that I am indeed good fun at parties. Cracking episode as always, though I do need to catch up on some movies, perhaps not the Mattisau one.
Yeah, well, you know, you can always bail halfway through like I did.
A couple of responses, Joe, to your what would you do? And this was the massage chair anecdote from Excalibur when Cherish Andrews was on the show a couple of weeks ago. JRob89
when
says,
Cherish thought that I was sitting in a vibrating chair for an hour and a half for $150.
I would have done the same as you, Joe. I might have even said when she told you, that's okay, just stop when the time's up. But I'm probably far too awkward to have actually done that. And Depleted ZPM says, I hate being taken advantage of. No way would I pay for the extra 10 minutes. Being British, I'm not used to the tipping culture. So not sure there because, as you said, it is already on the expensive side.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. So comments on the show, questions you want to ask, guests you want to suggest, the Discord, podcast discussion, Superfan applications, link to our Discord server is in the description. Just a quick update on something we discussed last week, which was that controversy around the hand at the World Series of Poker Circuit event in Maryland.
That's still going.
Well, I think the conversation is now moving in the right direction. So I don't know whether you saw it, but Poker.org had a discussion between several tournament directors, and Matt Savage asked the key question. I think that we went far too down the road of talking about what spectators or what the poker media should do in that situation, rather than questioning how the hand was handled by the venue. And Matt Savage asked the tournament director, where was the floor person? This is the main event final table. There are huge jumps in the prize money. You're down to the final three players. How is there not someone there at that table at all times who is moving in and checking and overseeing the action in an all-in situation? It's the obvious question. I can't believe it hasn't been asked until now. And that's the real thing we need to take the learning from here, is how card rooms, how poker rooms, how major events police the action at major final tables where there is life-changing money up for grabs.
Yeah, and I think Matt's obviously a guy who's really well-suited to do that, right? Like, I don't know what the protocol should be or, you know, how those rooms are run. If I had asked that question, I'd have felt bad. I'd have been like, well, I don't know. Is there supposed to be someone there? I don't know how it works. But Matt is someone who would know, so it's a good question coming from him. I assume that there's not any sort of official answer coming out of this card room.
Well, I mean, their argument is there was someone on duty, but the reality is they're probably not dedicated to that one tournament and they weren't there at the table. And I do think this is something we're going to see other venues and certainly other major events learn from, is that you have someone there. And again, humans make mistakes, and I don't want to put all of the blame on the dealer, but if you have another pair of eyes, if you have another someone else there overseeing the action, that mistake is less likely to occur. That's why you have floor in attendance there to oversee all ins in major tournaments. So, yeah, I think...
This dealer's really taking it on the chin, too, for clearing the board so quickly. You know, there's a lot of people commenting on that. And the more I talk to other professional poker players, the more they're all like... They all think that Maurice's celebration was intentional and was just a way to distract from the fact that he might not have had the best hand. There are lots and lots of people, I'm not going to name names,
sure,
who are saying that.
I mean, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt, though. But yeah, you're right. The debate wages on, and I'm sure it will continue for the next few days. Right, we advertised at the top of the show that we are going to be streaming this weekend for the first time this year, because it's the first PokerStars live event of 2025, the first of the new PokerStars Opens. And this is the first event that we have run on Italian soil in a long, long time. And we're going to get the skinny right now from our man on the ground. When you think Italian poker events, there's only one name that comes to mind, and that name is Pagan Events. And the man behind the brand is EPT legend Luca Pagano. Luca, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, James. Hey, Joe. Thank you.
What's up, Luca? Not just welcome back to the podcast, but welcome back to, I know that we've, you know, seen a little bit more of you lately, and you're like, I think you're going to be seeing even more of me. And here you are.
Here I am, my friend. Here I am. There are some new gig around, especially here in Italy currently. Are you aware about that?
Yeah,
have you
heard about Campione? First of all,
I am aware of it.
How excited are you to have PokerStars events in Italy again? Because it has been a while, which I just alluded to.
I have to tell you, James, I have to confess, I still have to metabolize all this kind of came back for myself at PokerStars, for PokerStars back to, in terms of live events, back to Italy. So a lot to digest. I still have to focus on bringing home the event. So we have to conclude it properly. And then I will be able to actually tell you how I'm going to feel it. But I have to tell you guys, it's been exciting so far. I've been meeting a lot of players that I didn't hear for years. They didn't play for years, and they decide to come back here in Campione. So it's kind of an opportunity to gather old friends. Let's put it that way.
Are you surprised to be spending this much time back in poker again? Like, was there a time that you thought you were just done?
Yeah, I have to tell you the truth. When I departed from PokerStars, after my first chapter with PokerStars, I thought that I was just going to focus on my next big thing. But I have to tell you the truth. After just a few weeks from my departure, I was already missing the PokerStars family. So, and again, guys, sorry, to be very transparent, this kind of initiative, like the PokerStars Live Room in Campione, doesn't happen in one day. So,
no, of course,
I've been discussing and working with PokerStars for the last 2-3 years, maybe around this project. So, it's kind of to say that I never left PokerStars, but now I really feel to be back home, and that's great.
Awesome. I mean, we spoke to Cedric a couple of weeks ago, and he told us about the opening of the live room, and what better way to launch it than to have this event in Campione. And coming into this event, I remember talking to Toby Stone, and I was asking him for like his projections of like, how big is the main event going to be? How big is the high roller going to be? And Toby did his classic, no idea. It's the first time we've ever done this. It's the first ever PokerStars Open. It's the first time we've done one of these type of events in a venue that we haven't been to since what, 2012? The high roller has nearly 400 entries.
Whoa.
I mean, it seems to me that it's not just a case where the Italian poker community have come in their droves. People are traveling from all over Europe to come to this event.
Correct. And when Toby and Cedric told me what were their expectations with the tournament, I have to tell you the truth. I had a very big laugh at them. Because honestly, I was expecting to have a little bit more players than their projections, but didn't expect to have so many players. Basically, today we also had the day 1A, and we are getting close to 500 players, which is more likely the number that they had in mind initially. So we actually surpassed that during the first flight. So let's see how it's going to end up tonight and tomorrow as well. But I expect that we are starting with the PokerStars Open Circuit with the numbers that PokerStars deserves.
Well, we've just had an update live from the floor, Luca, because our producer Chris is in Campione ahead of the live stream this weekend, up to 550 now. And this is 1A of the main event we're talking about?
That's correct.
Which is always the smallest flight, right?
Correct. And I have to tell you the truth. We had a little bit of delays at the cashier. We didn't expect so many players. So thankfully, the players have been patient to let the casino manage all the queues. But eventually, we made it. We have to be ready for tomorrow, because we're going to expect, for obvious reason, way more players. So finger crossed that everything's going to be fine. But the players are just showing up and showing all their love for the poker.
So the last EPT event that I went to that took place in Italy was Sanremo a long time ago. How does this event compare to the last Sanremo that we had?
The vibes are pretty much the same. The excitement from the players are pretty much the same. I still believe that this is just a starting point. So I really want to keep saying to my staff, to the players, to the casino and to poker stars that this could be just the beginning and sky's the limit in terms of participation of players. So let's see if we'll be able to bring EPT back to Italy. For now, let's enjoy the numbers of the PokerStars Open, which I also believe it's a combination of poker getting back to Italy, PokerStars getting back to Italy, the first stop of the PokerStars Open. So honestly, it's the perfect storm to bring massive numbers.
Great combination of circumstances. So how much time will you be spending in Campioni moving forward? How hands-on are you going to be with this new live room that we have there?
Well, James, I relocated to Campione months ago.
There so we go. There's the answer.
It's going to be, it's my 24-hour gig for the next, at least, let's say 4 or 5 years. So you're going to find me here. Guys, if you want to meet in person, just come to Campione.
When you say that something like this is 2 or 3 years in the making, like what is taking up all of that time? Can you tell us about some of the hurdles that you have to overcome when you're planning an event like this?
Well, the Italian casinos in Italy are owned by, they are public companies, so there are public tenders when they wanted to assign some sort of license, like the operation of the PokerStars Live Room in Campione. So there was some bidding process, there was some negotiation, there was the hiring of the staff, there were the refurbishment of the floor, because we refurbished completely the biggest and nicest floor of the casino. So we have around 2,500 square meters, and it took us a lot of effort to refurbish and have, in my opinion, one of the nicest room in the world.
I can't believe that Luca moved to Campione to become a carpenter
Joe, don't say that too loud, but that's exactly what I've been doing 2 months ago. I was removing personally the carpet to make sure that we were able to open in time. And we've been able to open just 2 weeks ago, just to make sure that all the processes were going to be fine during the Campione Open. And to make that happen, I had to put my hands on. Let's put it in the
front. All right.
But also, am I right in thinking that like carpentry is the Pagano family business, right? Didn't your dad used to make poker tables?
Yeah. I mean, we like to do things. So including poker tables, removing moquette car if you need it. I mean, we do whatever is needed to make some poker operation happening. It's our job. It's also my passion. So it's not a problem. If you like your job and if you have some goal in your mind, if you visualize your goal, it's not going to be such a big effort, honestly, to go through this.
Obviously, great to hear that, you know, the launch of this card room is off to such a great start. The launch of the PokerStars Open off to a great start. I'm slightly concerned about the weekend, though. So let's just touch on what we're meant to be streaming on Saturday and Sunday. So on Saturday, we have what they're calling the Super High Roller, which is a 5,000 euro buy-in event. And again, this is one of those classic Toby, could get 17 players, could get 70, I don't know. At this point, I fear we're going to have to take the over on 70. And this is meant to be a one-day tournament. But I think there is every chance that they play a long day on the Saturday and this spills into the Sunday. So chances are we will be streaming day one of the 5K Super High Roller on Saturday and the tail end of it, day two, on Sunday the 16th as well. Because if we're going to start with it, we want to see it play down to a winner. And then we would pick up the action in the 1K main event, which also concludes on Sunday. So the plan at the moment is to go live at 3:30 local time. That's 3:30 Central European time on Saturday with the Super High Roller and 1:30 p.m. Central European time on Sunday with either the 1K main event final day or the tail end of the Super High Roller followed by the 1K main event. I think these are going to be long days, Luca.
Absolutely. And again, I do believe and I do hope that Toby just guessed the wrong numbers. I expect, honestly, kind of the same numbers that you have in mind, maybe even a little bit more. I'd like to go for the 100, but that's a very, very ambitious number for the super high roller. But regardless, we're going to have a lot of great poker here in Campione, great poker actions for you guys to comment over. And I do believe that this is just the beginning of a very long journey here in Campione, because we want to start planning big events every month or every 2 months. So let's see. Hopefully we're going to start streaming very frequently from the PokerStars live room in Campione.
Cool.
We're going to have long streaming days, but at least we won't be ripping up carpet on our hands and knees like Luca had.
That's on me. Don't worry.
Luca, we wish you every success with the card room there, with the rest of the PokerStars Open. And you're absolutely right. I hope we have more events in Italy soon. Maybe we'll bring the EPT back to Italy as well. And I know you'll be a huge part of that when it does happen.
Thank you very much, James. Thank you very much, Joe. Guys, everyone that is watching the podcast, super happy to be back. And if you have any suggestions, guys, drop in a message. We'll do our best to satisfy all the players' requests and needs.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you, Luca. And just to recap, those live streams on the PokerStars Twitch and YouTube channels, Saturday, Sunday, myself, Joe, and Nick Walsh bringing you action from those two tournaments from the first ever PokerStars Open in Campione. And so we come to this week's installment of Superfan versus Stapes, and we say hello to this week's Superfan, Gonzalo Ariulo. Hello, Gonzalo.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Gonzalo, my man, what's up? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm from Argentina. I'm 36 years old. I play poker for a living since I was 24, 25.
Wow.
Yeah, I do it with my brother. We go together. We enjoy traveling and playing poker, especially in the States and in the stops of the European Poker Tour. So that's it.
Nice.
That's really cool. We don't have many professional poker players on as super fans.
And ironically, the only other Argentinian super fan we've ever had on the show was also a professional poker player.
That was a long time ago. So, all right. Let's talk about the replacements a little bit here. The replacements got brought up on the last show. Gene Hackman just died. I have a lot to say about this movie. I'd never seen it before. I watched it last night. This movie is so bad. but I loved it. I loved it. It's like a 15-year-old wrote a movie. So they'll get like, the football team, like they can't play anymore, so they have to get all these replacement players. So they'll get like a sumo wrestler, and then there'll be like a guy from prison. And then like the whole movie is written the way like a teenager would write the movie. It's so cheesy, it's so corny, but it's got a certain charm to it. And I don't know if any era of films has aged worse than like the early 2000s, late 90s.
Interesting.
They feel so dated. Every song choice, every gag choice, every wardrobe choice. Like you can watch The Godfather, right? Which was made in the 70s, takes place in the 50s, and it's a timeless movie. You watch a movie from like 1998 to 2007, and you're like, this took place between 1998 and 2007.
So, Gonzalo, has Joe just pissed on your favorite movie of all time, by any chance?
I gotta say, it gets cheesier as the years go by. I mean, I watched it, to be honest, a week ago, and I didn't even remember it was that bad.
And for Gene Hackman to be in this movie, I want to know how much of the movie's budget Gene Hackman's salary was, because he is so out. He was in one of the greatest sports movies of all time.
Yes.
He's in Hoosiers.
Yes.
And he's in this dog shit movie. It's so bizarre to see.
As we established last week when we were talking about Hackman, he was also in Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. So, right. You know, he had some jobs he was doing just
bad
for the money.
Movies.
On his own, 100%, yeah. But which actor doesn't? So, Gonzalo, Patrick also watched the movie. He's compiled a 10-question quiz. You are playing for a bronze power pass, which you could spin up to maybe a gold power pass, and one day you could live out your dream to play an EPT.
Awesome. Awesome.
Or just fire it as one of your many bullets into the Sunday Million each week. So we have 10 questions on the board. Please give me a number between 1 and 10.
It's going to be my lucky number, 4.
Lucky number 4.
Ooh. Nobody's lucky number is 4.
What I got a 4 tattoo on my arm. So.
Oh, nice.
What is the name of what is the name of the deaf tight end who catches the game-winning pass in the final game? You have multiple choice options if you want them.
First of all, you did a great job choosing your lucky number because I know this one without the choices. So you've at least blocked me from 2 points.
Is it Brian, by chance?
I will need the full name, please.
Ooh, full name. Brian Murphy?
It is for 2 points. Good job.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, Joe, any number other than 4?
Okay, I'm going to take double his lucky number to block his 2 lucky numbers of number 8.
The Ocho. Which comedian plays Clifford Franklin, number 81?
Which comedian plays Clifford Franklin, number 81? Trying to think. I mean, I should know who Clifford Franklin is, and I don't, so I'm trying to think of what comedians. I can only think of one comedian who's on the I can only think of one comedian. I'm going to go with Orlando Jones.
Correct for 2 points.
Whew.
Okay, well, we know 8 and 4.
Orlando Jones, by the way, was on Mad TV, although it was before I worked there.
That's a hashtag fun fact. Gonzalo, your second question. 8 and 4 have gone. Yep. Every other number still available.
We're going to go with number 3.
Question number 3. What was the name of the big final that Shane lost, causing him to retire?
Oh, that's going to be the Sugar Bowl.
It is the Sugar Bowl for 2 points. And Joe, you're up again.
Give me the lowest number, please.
That'll be number 1. What number does Shane Falco wear for Washington?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Every week, someone gets Patrick, and on this occasion, it's you.
I mean, knowing the number, like knowing the numbers of the team members is something that would have been smart for me to clock.
I mean,
and I tried doing
the
it, but it was a long day yesterday.
Or do you think they're not really going to help?
Yes, I do
you
want
the
multiple
options?
Choice options.
So the options are 12, 16, 23, 28. Just out of interest, what position does Shane Falco play?
He's a quarterback.
Okay, that narrows it down.
He's 12.
It was a coin flip. Unfortunately, you lost the flip. He's 16. Montana rather than Brady. Okay, 2, 5, 6, 7, 9, or 10, Gonzalo.
We're going to go with Lionel Messi, number 10.
Number 10. What excuse does Shane give for being late?
Traffic, heavy traffic.
Heavy traffic for 2 points. You scored a maximum of 6.
Another
so
one
far.
Of those just like super cheesy line. What took you so long? Traffic. I mean, just beautiful.
Great, great dialogue. Joe, 2, 5, 6, 7, or 9?
Let's go 9.
Question number 9. Who says, I love to see a fat guy score?
Who says, I love to see a fat guy score? I remember who scored. I'll take the choices.
Okay, is it Jimmy McGinty, Shane Falco, John Madden, or Edward O'Neill?
John Madden.
It is Madden for a point. And we're into the penultimate round. You have a 6-3 lead, Gonzalo, and questions 2, 5, 6, and 7 are still available.
Yeah, we're going to go with number 7.
Always coming. Which song do the players sing when in the jail cell?
That's I Will Survive by
Gloria Gaynor. Classic. Absolutely. Gives you a total of 8 points. You may have put this away. Joe, 2, 5, or 6?
2, please.
What does Shane say he's scared of?
Quicksand. He's scared of quicksand.
Wow. He is. 4 to 2 points. So your final question, Gonzalo. See if you can score a maximum number of points. 5 or 6? 6 or 5?
Number 5.
Which sport did Nigel Gruff play before American football?
He played soccer.
He did indeed. 4 to 2 points. Joe, the final question, question 6. What position did Daniel Bateman play?
Daniel Bateman was a... a fullback.
No, he was a linebacker. So you end on 5 by a 2-1 margin. Score of 10 points, Gonzalo. Congratulations. You are a winner. That means you get the Poker in the Ears merch. It also means you get the bronze power pass. And awesome. I think there's a very good chance we'll see you on the circuit at some point during 2025.
It is. It is. I saw Joe a couple of months ago in Brazil. I didn't come to say hi because a lot of people were chatting with him. I said, this guy must be tired of this. But it is a dream of mine to be on the podcast. Guys, you do an amazing job. I hear you every single day.
That's very kind. Very kind. And I can tell you, Gonzalo, Joe never gets tired of attention, ever.
That's correct. Always come say hello to me, especially at a poker event. That's what I'm there for. That's, you know, that's why they send me to those things. So please, by all means. But yeah, man, look, if you make it to one of our events or something, make sure you hit us up and let us know. We want to keep track.
We'll do, guys. But
thanks for volunteering for coming on the show. And thanks for the kind words, Gonzalo. And congrats once again.
Thank you, guys.
See you soon. All right, my babies, that's just about all the time we've got for this week's episode of Poker in the Ears. Thank you, Fintan. Thank you, Luca. Coming up next time, we've got not one, not two, but 3 guests joining us.
It's a round table, perhaps, Joe. It's a poker round table.
Yeah, I don't. We hopefully the technology works out well. I thought it'd be fun. We're going to have these 3 folks on who are perhaps the future of poker in an effort to speak to the kids. We're going to bring on a trio of poker influencers / creators to give James and I a lesson on how to stay fucking relevant. We're going to have Sethy Poker, Josh Kaysen, and Alexandra Lovelace will all be appearing on next week's show together. Not sure what it's going to be like having 5 people on all at once, but we're doing it anyway. It's called innovation. Look it up. And that's it. That is all the time we've got for this week's show. Until next time, for James Hardigan, I am Joe Stapleton. I'll smell you later.